Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP professional, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org or on the WDIY app, as well as many streaming services. Today is October 22nd, 2025. The markets were down today with the Dow closing at 46,590, the NASDAQ at 22,740, and the S&P at 6,699. Our topic tonight is random thoughts. Yes, random thoughts, just things off the top of my head. We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Bob and Cindy are in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay, and we could talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments, and while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. You can speak live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking on air, you can give your question to Cindy, and she'll write it down and bring it in. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. Also, a reminder that it is our fall membership drive, and we still have not quite hit our goal. And I know I have been out for a few weeks. So welcome back to me. Welcome back to our listeners. And if you have not had the opportunity to contribute, make an extra contribution, become a sustaining member, whatever it might be, to support us here at WDIY, support all the efforts in light of, the recent funding changes as well. We would appreciate that. And you can do that online through wdiy.org and click the donate button. So we appreciate that. And I would love if we were able to raise some funds during this hour of your financial choices. So what do I mean, random thoughts? From time to time, I do like to take the opportunity to just talk about whatever is on my mind. As I mentioned, I was away. I was traveling, very exciting. I was in South Korea for 3 weeks. It was so exciting, very, new experiences. And I think that's really important. Great brain exercise. I've never been an adventurer my whole life. I've been always a bit of a homebody. And it was just great to kind of go outside your comfort zone. And that applies to our financial lives as well. You know, often I'll hear people say, I don't understand it. I don't like it. I get stressed out about it. I know nothing. Just tell me what to do. And sometimes you have to get out of your comfort zone with financial planning, financial decisions, financial engagement. And I hope that every week through this program that you're able to learn a few things here and there that make it more comfortable for you to engage, to make progress in your own financial life and take the stress out of it a little bit. You know, it's even with tax returns. It's amazing how many people get stressed out about taxes. And I think taxes are fun. And what is the difference? Why? And sometimes it is, for me, how you look at things, how you approach things. So if you're someone who gets stressed out about finances or stressed out about tax returns, ask yourself, how might I get comfort around this, or how might I change my attitude toward this to instead of being stressed by it, be empowered by it. Personally, for me, why I like numbers so much and why I like, you know, I don't like everything in the financial world, by the way, just so everybody knows. It's just like in accounting, I loved tax, I loved auditing, I loved law, but I didn't like financial reporting so much. And the same thing even in my own job. There's parts of my, you know, work that I might not like as much, but other parts I like a lot. So it's about getting enough comfort around those areas that you don't like or the support in those areas that you may not like. But how I try to look at taxes or financial decisions for me is like a puzzle. I love puzzles. I love problem solving. And so if you find something that overwhelms you or that stresses you out, instead of just thinking about that, turn it around, look at it a different way and say, how can I solve this problem? How can I, you know, go through this puzzle? How can I make it work or make it more interesting to yourself to help you overcome these things? And sometimes it's a little bit of exposure, a little bit at a time. For example, and again, my random thoughts tonight, kind of trying to help people kind of work through things they're not comfortable with. As I said, I was always a homebody, didn't like to travel. Well, why? You know, I started to say, you know, like, what is the issue here? And I came to the realization that I had maybe had a little bit of claustrophobia. The reason I was stressed out is because I didn't like the feeling I had when I was in an airplane. I loved takeoff. I loved landing. And everyone would say to me, those are the scariest parts. Those are the worst parts. That's when you could die. I said, well, I'm not afraid of dying. That's not the problem. And I love the speed of the takeoff. I love the speed of the landing. And the brakes, you know, going on. It was being in the air that I didn't like. And then when I finally started breaking it down, it was, oh, I just didn't like feeling kind of claustrophobic. So there's ways to kind of overcome that. You get the seats with more leg room. You know, you get the emergency exit if you're someone who can, you know, open the doors and carry 50 pounds. And or if you can afford it, you can go to, you know, the bigger seats, pay for premium economy or business class. And that might help. So that helped me kind of get over some things. And then I tested the water. So I took, you know, one trip, I took a second trip, domestic flight, international flight, building up to saying, I think I can do this. And then, of course, the biggest adventure of my life, which was just now 3 weeks in Korea, which was, again, fabulous and exposing myself to things I never thought I would expose myself to. And finding a safe way to do that. So I was surrounded by very friendly people, people who had common interest, and it helps when you feel supported in those situations that you're maybe facing for the first time. So you can think about ways that you may be able to address any financial stress points you may have. And those financial stress points may be not being disciplined in your financial decisions. Stress points may be a denial of your financial, you know, situation. And finding ways to get into those nooks and crannies of those stress points to resolve them, work through them, to help you move forward, to have a better life, better decisions, more options, because financial awareness, financial education helps really fuel or fund all of the goals that we may have in life. I mean, we have to face this. If you want to buy a house, you want to buy a car, you want to pay for children's education, you want to retire early, it's all financial. So this is one area, unlike travel, where you really don't have to travel, but you do have to face your financial education and financial decision-making to you know, reach your goals. So we're going to talk about some of the random thoughts I have as we go through the show, but I would love calls tonight. As you can hear, my voice is a little froggy. So if you have questions, you're welcome to call and talk on air with me. Give me a little break. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I have in the studio with me, Seamus McGrogan.
Hi, Lori. Happy to be here and welcome back.
Thank you, Seamus.
We've been airing some archived interviews from the Your Financial Choices shows, and it's been great having your voice on the air, even though you haven't been here in the studio. But now back live, so if people have questions, they can call again. And also, more importantly, or I shouldn't say just as importantly, if they have a donation to give to help our fall membership drive, they can also call the line at 610-758-8810. Of course, they can give online at wdiy.org. And we want to make up this final amount and hit our goal for the membership drive. We have $6,300 to go before we hit our goal. So we're getting very close. It's the final countdown, as I say.
Yay.
If I had that song queued up, I would play a little snippet from it right now. But we are in the home stretch and we can get there with your help. So if you haven't had a chance to give and you're a regular listener to Lori's show, now is a great time to give because you'll be letting us know that you value her program and you want it to stay on the air.
I sincerely appreciate my sophisticated listeners, as I say, Seamus. We have sophisticated listeners at WDIY and strong supporters, and we want to see that strong support not just in your listening, but also in your giving.
Absolutely. So help us out with your financial choices this evening and help us hit that goal for the fall membership drive. Again, the number to call for a donation is 610-758-8810 or giving online at wdiy.org.
Thank you very much, Seamus. And we do have a caller. We have Carolyn from Sailorsburg. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Lori.
How are you?
I think Korea was really an experience.
It was. It was fabulous.
Oh, great. Travel is always an eye-opener.
Yep, that's for sure.
Good. And I'm with you. I like plane rides. It's like a big ride.
There you go. Oh, so thank you for calling in. You can hear my voice is a little off tonight, so it's nice to have a little break. So how can I help you tonight?
Okay, so our situation is we reviewed our estate plan and we decided to make some changes.
Okay.
And we did just see a lawyer.
Yay.
And he redid our wills and our medical power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
The estate, I guess, financial power of attorney, that was fine. So we didn't make any changes there.
Mm-hmm.
We have been reviewing our beneficiaries, how things are titled. And I think we're squared away with that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in touch with my employer, and I think I did what I need to do there. That was mostly also beneficiary and how things were titled.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm missing something, so I'm kind of calling for an estate planning review, like almost a checklist a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're also got the funeral planned. I just still feel like I'm missing something.
Well, I think that it's, first of all, it's great to trust your instincts, because sometimes I think that your instincts might be telling you something And it's nothing wrong with doing like a double check anyway, even if you have already done something. And sometimes it's hard when it's an area that we may not be as familiar with, you know, because we have estate planning, we go to an attorney and we're hoping the attorney covers everything. But the attorney isn't always aware of everything. Sometimes we might not have told the attorney everything. So the first thing is, I always want people to have an understanding of what they have themselves first. So usually I like, you know, clients to have like an inventory of their assets, and that would include their real estate, their retirement accounts, their bank accounts, their brokerage accounts, have an inventory of their insurance. If they have life insurance or long-term care insurance, these are important things to know as well when we're doing our estate planning. So understand what you have and any liabilities. Liabilities are part of our estate planning too. So we want to have an understanding of that. And then when we meet with the attorney is typically going to give us a checklist. So you might think that's the only checklist, but I want you to hold on, Carolyn, because we're going to have a dot, dot, dot. So the attorney gives the attorney gives us a checklist, and the attorney's checklist might include your personal information, your demographics, your beneficiaries, family members, who you would name, that type of thing. And then they're also going to ask about those assets that I just mentioned and liabilities. Now, they're going to talk to you about your wishes. They're going to hopefully fill in the blanks for things that you may not have thought about, like, oh, what are you going to do with the real estate? Or what are you going to do with, you know, money that might be going to a minor child? So hopefully they're going to do all that. And they're going to make sure, hopefully, that you have all those documents you just mentioned, your will, your medical power of attorney, your financial power of attorney, your living will. The living will says, you know, what kind of means you want taken in the event you are on a respirator or something. And then here's the part that the attorneys may or may not, you know, it may or may not be their responsibility to follow up with you. And that's the part I think that it falls off the checklist a little bit, which is if you've talked to them about your assets and they understand what your assets are and they write the will in that respect, but then perhaps you go and you work with your financial advisor and you name beneficiaries that may be different than what you might have let the attorney know, or you didn't realize your assets were titled differently when you told the attorney about it. Maybe you said to the attorney, oh, we have this joint account, and the attorney assumes it's a joint account, but what you might not have told them is that there was a beneficiary designation on that joint account. So it's not as much maybe as an additional checklist, but a cross-reference is what I would say the next piece would be. So your checklist was hopefully what the attorney went over with you. Your checklist was what you went in to the attorney with. What I think is important next would be the cross-reference. So, okay, here's the assets we told the attorney about. Here's how the attorney helped us with our documents. Does it all align now? Are we in alignment? Are our accounts, you know, titled in such a way that if in the will, and I'm going to exaggerate here, let's say in the will we said everything going to ABC Charity, but in our accounts we said everything going to XYZ Charity. Well, guess what? Then ABC Charity, if nothing's going through the will, and the will says everything's going to ABC Charity, they're not getting anything because in our documents we have beneficiary designations with everything going to XYZ. So
that's like a non-probate thing.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So it's the cross-reference of, okay, now we've done our planning. Is it going to be executed the way we thought and our attorney thought, if that makes sense?
It does make sense. There's a lot there that you mentioned that we did not go over with the attorney. We mostly did those legal documents that I mentioned and not really too much else. So it sounds like maybe I should make an appointment with my financial advisor
to make sure everything's aligned.
My estate plan.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, because there are a number of times I have found inconsistencies. So I think it's a good idea. And in fact, Carolyn, one of my random thoughts tonight is talking about this very thing. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about it as we go on through the show. So I'm ready for my next break, but thank you for calling and giving me a little voice break. I appreciate it.
Okay, you are most welcome. Stay well.
Thank you. Thank you. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Folks, we are at another break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can also make donations and contributions for their fall membership drive, either through that phone number or by donating securely online at wdiy.org. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY has always been more than radio. It's our community's public square, a place where voices come together and where the voiceless finally have a microphone. But with federal funding cuts to public media, sustaining our public square now depends even more on us, neighbors supporting neighbors. Together, we can keep WDIY strong. Step up, fill the gap, and keep your community's voice alive. Donate today at wdiy.org. And if you've already donated, you have our sincere thanks.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY. It is our fall membership drive. I've been away for a few weeks. I would love to hear from some listeners who would consider making an extra donation or a donation if you haven't in the past. You can do that through WDIY.org by clicking the link to donate online or by calling 610-758-8810. And more importantly, you could also call in with questions at that same number, 610-758-8810. See if you can do some contributions during this hour. I am also a supporter of WDIY, so I like to give through a matching program that my husband has as a retiree of Air Products. And it's a wonderful program where we donate through the United Way, and retirees have those donations matched by Air Products. And 75% of that donation goes back to the same organization that you've identified. So it's really an extra boost. And other employers in our community may also offer a match directly. So please consider that as well if you are one of those people who are employed by one of those corporations that does matching. It's really an extra nice way to get some extra money to WDIY, so we appreciate it. So tonight I've just been talking about random thoughts, and we were just talking to Carolyn about, a checklist for estate planning, or more importantly, a cross-reference. And one of the random thoughts I wanted to mention was how consumers receive advice. And what I mean by that, regular listeners know I talk about the elements of financial planning: cash flow, taxes, investments, retirement planning, risk management, and estate planning. And I've recently been very aware of this theme in talking to clients and talking to prospects, that they go to their attorney and they get estate planning, and the attorneys, it's not their job to coordinate, asset titling or beneficiary designation. They're doing your documents. They're talking to you about the laws. So it's kind of like in a vacuum. Then you have maybe an investment advisor. Well, your investment advisor may not be able to give you any tax advice. Typically, they're prohibited from giving you any tax advice for some of the major, custodians out there. So your investment advisor is talking to you about investments. They're not necessarily talking to you about your estate planning. They're not necessarily talking to you about your income tax planning. Let's talk about tax planning now. So now we go over to the tax, tranche of my financial elements, and you might go and pay someone to do your tax return, And typically, it's, you know, tax time, it's crunch time, they're preparing the tax return, they need to do it as fast as possible, they may not be doing tax planning, they're just entering the numbers, not really talking about what the numbers mean on your tax return. Regular listeners know, I love looking at tax returns because it tells me a whole story about the person. And yet, when you're looking at a tax preparer, sometimes they're only just entering the numbers, not really thinking about what they mean. So imagine when I say how consumers receive advice, if it's in a vacuum, you're going for just estate planning advice, just investment advice, just tax planning advice, just retirement planning advice, perhaps through your, you know, employer's 401k, or risk management. You're going to your insurance person and they're just giving you information on the insurance. It's not always coordinated. It's not always, as I said to Carolyn, cross-referenced. This could be critical. It could be very important and could make such a difference in your financial decision making, is to make sure it's all working together, that when you blend all those ingredients, that it's blended. It's not, you know, put in the pan one line. Imagine a big cake pan and you put the flour in one line, you put the sugar in one line, you put the eggs next to it, you put the salt next to it, and none of it's mixed. It just doesn't work. So it's better to kind of find a way to mix it and blend it. So pay attention to that. I think it could make a big difference. And that also, when we talked earlier about the stress of financial decision making, sometimes it seems overwhelming. I get that. I get overwhelmed, you know, thinking about cleaning my house. But you could be getting overwhelmed in your financial decision making too. But look at it more as like, you know, you're baking this, you're cooking it, you're mixing it. You want to make sure it's all working together. And with that, you're giving yourself options. So I really like to emphasize the importance of giving yourself options in your financial decision making. Remember, what do I say at the end of every show? I say be proactive, not reactive. Why do I say this? What difference does it make? Well, if you are in front of your decisions, meaning being proactive, you're in front of your decisions, you have a lot more options. I just said this to some clients today, that if you come in and tell me that you've already done X, Y, Z, then I no longer have A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, O, P, you know, the rest of the alphabet in front of me as options, because you may have done X, Y, Z, and now it's closed the door on other options you may have had. And it could make a big difference. And sometimes people don't realize the options they have. So it's always best to kind of like pause and think, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to buy a car. And I think I'm going to go take out a loan on that car. Well, maybe if you stop and think about it for a minute, maybe you have other options. Maybe you don't need to take out a loan. Maybe that loan has too high of an interest rate. Maybe you want to buy a house and you're going to pay cash for the house. You think, oh yeah, this is why I've set aside this, you know, $400,000 of cash in my bank account because I want to buy a house. You might have taken 2 years to make that decision. So you want to think, does that make sense? What if that's the only $400,000 you have and you're thinking in your head, hey, I have that $400,000, I'm going to pay off the house, that way I don't have a mortgage payment. Well, if I only have $400,000, and I'm making a lot of assumptions here, meaning, you know, you probably wouldn't get financing if you had no income on your tax return. But let's pretend you had $400,000 in the bank. You wanted to buy a house for $400,000, and you said, I don't want a mortgage. I don't want a high interest rates, and it's going to cost me $2,000 a month. This way, I don't have that payment. Well, if the only money you have is $400,000, and you use the full $400,000 for your house, now I don't have $2,000 a month for anything else either. So there are times when it makes sense to perhaps have a mortgage. There are times when it makes sense not to, Or there are times when it may make sense to have a car payment, and there are times when it makes sense maybe to not have a car payment. If the interest rate on that car loan is much higher than what you might be earning on that money, it may make sense just to use your cash to pay off the car. So little things like this are what I want you to start thinking about and consider in your own financial decision-making. Folks, we're at the halfway point. We are in our fall membership drive. You can make contributions through wdiy.org. I would love to hear that we've had some contribution during this hour of your financial choices. You can also call in and ask questions at 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. We're just talking about random thoughts tonight, which I like to do from time to time. In fact, I said to someone today, I said, you know, I have a radio show and people can call in and ask questions. And then unfortunately, I think everyone wants my opinion. And, you know, this is what I do. But I like to share experiences that I've had over my career, and hopefully it'll make a difference for people. So we were just talking about being in front of your decisions, being proactive and not reactive. We have fewer options when reactive. So being in front of those decisions, and I'm going to give you a few more examples. So one was, you know, using all of your cash to buy a house or make a big purchase, and that may not always be the best thing if you can't anticipate that perhaps a year from now, maybe you end up having, you know, medical procedure and you need a big chunk of money. Now, what are you going to do? If you don't have any cash left because you used it all to buy this house when you could have maybe financed some of it, now you may not have the cash, and now you're going to have to go get a home equity loan or put it on a credit card, and the credit card's going to cost you way more than a home equity loan, and the home equity loan's probably going to cost you more than a mortgage would have cost, but you may not even qualify at this point if you've used all your money for the mortgage. So you just want to kind of think about things like that. The other place where I see people need to be a little bit more proactive and be in front of their decisions is in job searches, making sure that you're comparing jobs appropriately, not just the salary, but is there overtime? Is there promotion options available? Do they cover health care? How much of the health care do they cover? Do they have a retirement plan? Do they make a match to the retirement plan? And to be able to compare apples to apples. And the same thing happens in job transitions. You want to make sure that you understand all the options available to you in a job transition. Are you giving up a pension that you otherwise would have been eligible for? Are you giving up, you know, stock options or employee stock purchase plans in that transition? And what other life transitions? Are you in front of decisions that are what I'll call life transitions, you know, getting married, having a child, getting divorced, getting remarried, having children move out of the house, having children move back in the house, life transitions. What do those mean to you? And are you in front of those decisions before you make permanent decisions that you may not be able to back out of? What if about when you're inheriting? I have heard too many stories when people inherit assets, they don't think through what they're inheriting. And they may think, oh, I just inherited this retirement account and I'm going to cash it out, or I'm going to put it into my own retirement account. Because sometimes, you know, there are people out there who give you bad advice, and you're really not eligible to do that unless you're a spouse. Spouses can roll over, you know, retirement accounts to their own when their spouse passes away. But if I'm a child inheriting a retirement account from a parent, I can't roll that over into my own IRA. It has to roll over into an inherited IRA. So you want to make sure that you understand what you're getting and what your options are. And you may need to ask more than one person, because sometimes you don't know who's giving you the advice, what their credentials are. That's another proactive, you know, tactic you could use. Make sure you know who you're working with. Make sure you know their credentials. I just saw on Instagram, this cracks me up. I saw on Instagram a woman who is saying that she and a friend are helping you become reach financial freedom, and you don't have to pay for advice. You can get it free and blah, blah, blah. No credentials, because they've been through it. They've been through it. This is their credentials are they've been through it. You know, you got to watch out for this kind of thing, because I can guarantee you, I'm almost positive that these people, if they don't have any credentials, they don't have any licensing, how much do they really know? And what is their experience that makes them qualified to be able to give you advice that they say is free? And by the way, when you read the comments say, watch out for these people. They act like it's free and it's not. And I was taken in by them and blah, blah, blah. So be a little bit critical of the people that you're getting advice from. And some I've heard other stories where people say, well, credentials don't mean anything. It doesn't make you smarter. Your education doesn't make you smarter. Well, you know, sometimes it does. I mean, you know, would you go to someone for surgery, medical surgery, if they weren't a doctor? You know, doctors go through tons of education, tons of training, you know, years of residencies, and it takes a lot of work. And same thing with sometimes financial advisors. But even having said that, not all financial advisors are equal either. Someone might call themselves a financial advisor and they may not have, you know, the credentials. The CFP designation, Certified Financial Planner designation, I love it. And the CFP board, the Certified Financial Planner board, has done a lot to promote the designation and have continuing education requirements, ethics requirements. It's a lot to go through. And same thing with certified financial or certified public accountants, CPAs. You know, the test originally when I took it, there was four parts and it was a 2-day exam. The CFP exam when I originally took it was a 2-day exam. That compared to two women who say they've been through hard times and they will help you get financial freedom and you don't have to pay for it. You know, be wary of anything that someone says is free. So be proactive. Be critical, be suspicious, just like we tell you with your cybersecurity. Just try to be in front of decisions and don't be afraid to ask for second opinions. Let's see, what else? Understand the impact on coordinating things like funding 401ks and Roth IRAs. I mentioned this as part of the inheriting. Because this is one of my random thoughts. I've had people who may not be able to afford funding their 401ks fully. Okay. Now, all of a sudden, you inherit money and you inherit an IRA. And when you inherit an IRA, a non-spouse IRA, you're going to have a required minimum distribution. And they've even accelerated that for, you know, more recent deaths, that you have to take it out within 10 years. If you're someone who has not fully funded 401ks in the past, and all of a sudden you've inherited money that is going to put more income on your tax return, you might want to say, hey, if I now increase my contribution to my 401k at work, and I can do that and perhaps even fully fund it, do the maximum contribution, that's going to lower my income on my tax return because now I have to take out this inherited IRA. So you can kind of play those, coordinate it. It works out really well. I've had a number of people who have done that, who had not been able to fully fund 401ks. Now they're going to have a smaller paycheck, but they're going to have more net income from the inherited amounts that they have to take out. And that makes up, that could make up, okay? So coordinate that. Also watch out for Roth funding. Roth IRAs, if you are within the income limits and you have earned income and you could fund a Roth IRA, Roth IRAs grow income tax-free. Make sure that you're reviewing the investments in those Roth IRAs. I hate when I see cash in a Roth IRA, people. Hate it. Roth IRAs grow income tax-free. Why would you put something that's not growing in it? So watch out for that. Other random thoughts. I have notes on trusts. By the way, so Carolyn called earlier with estate planning kind of questions. I want to mention, I am going to have Eric Strauss, who's an attorney with Gross McGinley, on next week, and we are going to talk about estate planning and some considerations you should think about for estate planning. And one of those might be trust. So the reason I mention trust as part of my random thoughts tonight is trust seem to go in and out of fashion. I remember when I first was in the business, I worked at a law firm for 9 years, and many years ago now, gosh, 25 years ago, more than 25 years ago, 1990, what am I saying? Oh my gosh, it was in 1990, long time ago. And at first, trusts weren't as big of a thing. Then trust became a big thing because back then, executors and attorneys took fees, perhaps in our local area, based on the assets in the estate. And the fees that the attorneys and the executors could take were higher on estate assets than they were on trust assets. Then I saw this kind of shift, like, oh, people realized this, so they started putting more assets in trust because there were lower legal fees, lower trustee or lower, you know, executor commissions, and more money going into trust. And the trust also had lower probate fees. Probate fees are fees that the court assesses on your probate assets, which are those assets that go through your will, through your estate. So if there's assets in a trust, there are no probate fees. So I saw this shift going into trust. Also, what was happening was the federal exemption, the federal estate tax exemption was very low at that time and had not been adjusted for a very long time. So more and more estates were getting subject to the federal estate tax. So then the lawyers had to write up documents to set up something called bypass trust, marital trust, to try to use the exemption, the federal estate exemption, for each spouse. So they had to equalize estates, give assets to both spouses for one of the spouses to fully use their federal estate exemption. Well, all of that has changed now. We have something called portability. We don't, meaning if a spouse dies, we can file a federal estate tax return and elect to take that deceased spouse's federal exemption and give it to the surviving spouse. Now the surviving spouse has the deceased spouse's exemption and their own exemption. And it's really huge. So we don't have the need as much for those fancy trusts. But it doesn't mean, so now then, you know, those trusts were kind of going out of fashion. But I think there still could be a real reason to have a trust. And you shouldn't, you know, throw that idea out completely. If you are subject to certain situations that may benefit you to set up a trust. And I'll talk about those when we come back from our next break. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. You can also make a donation or pledge for our fall membership drive through that or by going through the website securely online at wdiy.org. We'll be back in just a moment.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and we are in Fall Membership Drive, and we have Seamus McGrogan in the studio with us.
Hi, Lori. Happy to be here again. Stepping in for just a minute to remind you that we are trying to wrap up our Fall Membership Drive. We are less than $6,300 away from our overall drive goal. It's been a long, long path here, but we've heard from so many people out there. So if you've already contributed, thank you so much. If you haven't had a chance to give, now is a great time, especially if you're a fan of Lori's show. Show your support for Lori and her knowledge that she gives every single week, and for all the work we do here at WDIY, the local news, the NPR news, the eclectic music, the 30-plus public affairs programs, the 100-plus volunteers that host these programs, our youth media program training the next generation of broadcasters in local high schools. All the work we do here is made possible by member support. We have phone lines open for questions for Lori, but also for donations. So if you want to call up and make a donation, you can do that as well at 610-758-8810, or you can go online to wdiy.org. And don't forget, now is a great time to give because we have a partnership with Morton Brown Family Wealth, who are matching every $100 that we raise during the Fall Membership Drive with a $50 contribution to Valley Youth House, helping out at-risk youth and families in the Lehigh Valley. So a double impact for one donation just right now during the Fall Membership Drive.
Wonderful. That's a great organization, and Katie and Dennis do a great job as well. So we appreciate their support of WDOI and Valley Youth House.
All right. Thanks, Lori. And hopefully next time I stop by, I'll have some thank yous to give.
Thank you, Seamus. And we have a caller. We have Nat from Easton. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi, how are you?
All right.
Good.
How can I help you? Glad to get to talk with you.
Great. How can I help?
Well, I've got a unique situation. I've got retirement accounts that are growing at an exceptional rate. I'm not quite sure how I should shift funds around, considering the value that they will probably achieve in a fairly short time.
Okay.
So where I'm sitting at, let's call it roughly a million.
Okay.
Of that, say we have $250,000 in just a standard trading account, $700,000 in retirement accounts, and another $50,000 for children.
Okay.
So, to give you an idea of the scope that we're looking at, the growth is on the order of 2% per week.
Woo.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So a very unusual situation. But that is where I'm at. So I'm just kind of wondering, do I want to have these things grow as they are in retirement accounts, or should those be moved into some other place where they can grow differently for different future tax purposes?
So here's some things to think about. Number one, I'm just going to mention, be careful of whatever investments you're making at that rate. I'm not sure what you're in, but and don't tell me. But you want to be careful, because I recall telling a client once when she was telling me her returns, I said, it sounds too good to be true. And it ended up being Bernie Madoff. So just be careful of whatever you're doing when you're investing. If you're in traditional investments and getting those kinds of returns, you know, maybe you've got everything in AI, I don't know. So just watch out for that. That's one thing. Number two, I'm going to say, I tell people, don't walk away from the money, meaning some people will say, well, I don't want to pay taxes. Well, net of taxes, you're still going to be ahead by accumulating more money. So taxes are just a consequence sometimes, but you know, how can we be smart about it? I think we should still be smart about it, but don't walk away from it if it's a, you know, make sure it's a valid, good rely, you know, investments. So first, make sure it's all up above the board is what I'm trying to say. Now, I also talk about asset geography. So you said 700,000 might be in retirement accounts. Well, if it's in retirement accounts like a 401k, 403b, you know, you're not really going to be able to move money out of that until you either are old enough to move money out of it, meaning 59 and a half, unless there's some other exception, or you would move it out when you're, you know, required minimum distribution age, when you have to take it out at 73. So you might say to yourself, how much am I putting into my retirement accounts? Are you maxing out that money? Does it make sense to max it out? So if you're in a, I'm going to give you an example. Let's pretend you're in a 22% tax bracket and you're maxing out your 401k, and your 401k is growing the fastest and the biggest, and it's all ordinary income. Well, Nat, I would say to you, maybe you should consider whether or not it makes sense for you to continue to contribute on a pre-tax basis. If your employer plan has a Roth feature, maybe it's time to switch it to Roth and get that tax-free growth, because you're not getting tax-free growth on your retirement assets. All right. So then you say, well, what do I have in this other individual account or joint account, $250,000? Look to see where you have, if you have any fixed income. And I personally like to see fixed income more in those retirement accounts that are going to be taxed at ordinary income tax rates anyway. And I like to see the growth and the tax favored investments in my non-retirement accounts. So in my non-retirement accounts, that's where I really love to see the growth. The first place I want to see growth is in a Roth IRA. The second place I want to see growth is in my, you know, my individual account or my joint account, where I can get tax favored treatment on dividends, qualified dividends, and on my long-term capital gains. Education accounts, also tax-free growth. It's great. You may or may not be able to put more money into the education accounts, because you also have to keep a balance. If you can't tap your retirement accounts because you're too young and you have the 250 and you have the 50 for education, you got to be careful on the education funding, because you still may need money in your individual name in the event you lose a job or, you know, some medical thing. So you need to do a little bit of a balance. But I don't mind seeing money in the education account either, because it's also tax-free growth. So Roth tax-free growth, education tax-free, all if used under qualified distribution rules, retirement account, there's not a lot you can probably do there, is kind of what I'm saying for shifting. Does that make sense?
That does. It's a shifted out of a 401k, as I understand. There's one, it would become income and taxable, plus right, there's an additional 10% penalty for early withdrawal.
If it's an early withdrawal. Now, there is an exception. If you retired at age 55 or reach age 55 by December 31st in the year you retire, that is an exception to that 10% penalty for a withdrawal. You can do conversions of IRA money to Roth, but that also has a tax consequence. So quite often when I'm looking to help people shift money from IRAs to Roth, I'm usually looking for that window when you retire, before you collect Social Security, when your income is lower. So you want to keep that in mind. So maybe you just let it grow. And even despite tax consequences, if it's growing, net of tax, you're still going to be ahead than not saving or investing. You see what I'm saying?
Yes. My thought was, it would probably be a good idea to move what's in the 401ks over to Roth, mm-hmm, and pay the extra taxes. That would probably bump me into the next higher tax bracket if I do that.
Mm-hmm.
But all things considered, I think that's still probably the way to go.
Well, what you might want to think about first, if you're working and you're contributing to a 401k, rather than convert and pay a higher tax now, you could start by easing out of it by changing your contributions from pre-tax to Roth contributions. If your employer plan offers Roth feature,
They do. That's where I'm at right now. All my income is going there.
So you're already contributing to Roth.
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, then you're not going to have tax consequences then on your portion of what's going into the Roth. Where you're going to see taxable income would be on the employer match and the growth on the employer match. But if you're putting money into the Roth, just look at your 401k statement and look and see how the numbers break down in your 401k. So if your retirement account is $700,000 and you told me $400,000 is in the Roth, then I would say you've got a nice variety of buckets to choose from. You have some in your individual, you have some in Roth, you have some in IRA, you have some in education. Yeah, so it sounds to me like if you have a Roth bucket, you're got a nice diversified buckets to pick from. Okay?
All right.
Yeah. Okay. I think you're probably on the right track. I just would make sure your investments don't get over concentrated in whatever it is you've got there, because that sounds pretty wild, those returns. But
yeah,
you know. Okay, so just watch out for that.
It does.
Okay,
I appreciate it.
All right, have a good night. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay,
too.
Thanks. Seamus wants to jump in and say hello for a moment, and I hope he has a thank you to make.
Yeah, Lori, we just want to give a thank you to Clifford in Belvedere, New Jersey.
Oh, thank you.
For renewing their membership. So thank you very much, Clifford, helping us along the way tonight for Your Financial Choices. A reminder, we're trying to close out the fall membership drive. If you haven't had a chance to give, renew your membership, make a new membership gift, or give an extra gift. It all helps us here. We're $6,300 away from our goal, so we're getting very close and excited. Mm-hmm. 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810, or wdiy.org for that donation.
Thank you so much, Seamus. Thank you, Clifford from Belvedere, New Jersey. So let me finish up my random thoughts. I had lots more random thoughts. Anyone who knows me knows I have lots of random thoughts. But I wanted to talk about the trust for a minute, how, you know, they kind of go in favor, out of favor, and why I think they still could be really important for people who may have blended families, may have a surviving spouse who, you know, could have complications with managing money. Sometimes a trust is nice to have, like a third-party trustee help with the management of it. If you have children, minor children, it's good to have a minor trust provisions in the event they were to inherit. You might have a second marriage where you want to provide for a surviving spouse, but you have children from a prior marriage. So you could have a trust that says, income to my spouse for her, you know, lifetime, principal is needed for health, education, maintenance, and support. And then when she's gone, it goes to my children. You might have real estate in another jurisdiction, maybe a different state. You might have real estate that you want to carry on for the family. I have a number of those cases. So a trust could be used for those particular situations. Those are all items you would discuss with your attorney and, you know, align your documents properly. Real quick, also, random thought, set it and forget it. I love it. Like we were just talking to Nat about having money in the retirement accounts. I imagine he probably did employee contributions as a set it and forget it. It's great. You have the money going into a savings or investments before you ever get it. It's a great way to save. Just don't forget about set it and forget it spending you're doing. So people sometimes sign up for online services and they forget about checking. So set it and forget it for savings. Awesome. Set it and forget it for spending. Needs to be reviewed regularly. So please watch out for that. Folks, we are at the end of the show. Next week, we're going to have Eric Strauss, attorney with Gross McGinley, and we're going to talk about further considerations in estate planning. I want to thank Bob and Cindy for being here. Thank you for listeners for calling in. Thank you, Bridger. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.